This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello, and welcome to show number 402 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, this is Jimmy. And this week, I think we have a great show lined up for you tonight. We'll be talking about our top three favorite attraction queues in each of the parks. And then we'll probably also throw in one that maybe not a favorite, maybe we don't look forward to. So let me get to who we have with us tonight. Tonight I have Morgan. Hey, Morgan, how's it going?
Hey, guys, how's it going? I am ready to talk line queues because I'm ready to stand in a line queue.
Me too. And Melissa. Melissa, how's it going?
Hey, everyone. Really excited to be here and also talk about line queues because I just have to kind of get back into the groove of being in the parks. It's been so long since I've been there, and it's been fun coming up with my list and remembering what some of those queues were like.
Yeah, and it's, you know, when you do a show like this and you get to talk about it and you kind of put yourself in that place, so you kind of live in vicariously in your own memories a little bit. So it's always fun to do that. So let's get started. I guess we'll go in the order. I guess we should like you know, Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Studios, Animal Kingdom, because I think that's the right order. I think that's pretty much the way the order always is because that's how they opened.
Yep.
Oldest to newest. So we'll go clockwise here, and I'll start with Magic Kingdom, and Morgan with your number three attraction.
My number three in Magic Kingdom.
Number three in Magic Kingdom.
I would have to say probably my number three is Pirates of the Caribbean. I just like it because, I mean, you definitely feel like you're going into a completely different space. It's not a traditional, you know, here's a little line and you can see outside. You are... Once you're in the building, you are in a whole other, you're in the pirate world.
I agree. And I will also add to that, that if you took that queue during, and we don't know what it'll look like in the future, but pre-COVID, if you took that queue for the villains After Hours party or the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party, it probably bumps it up even higher because they put some of the live cast members in there interacting with the guests, which is really amazing. So that may even put it on the top for me just for that, you know, special event, because I don't think any other attractions do that.
Yeah, that's the same thing, Jimmy, when I was going through my list, and Pirates was going to be up there because of that extra magic hour or Mickey's Not So Scary when they brought the cast in and interacted with the guest. She was one of my favorite pieces from that night. But yeah, great pick, Morgan.
And that was actually, all three of us were in that line together.
We sure. were. That's true. And I was dressed as a pirate, as Smee, and yep. She recognized me as Smee. She said, oh, Smee. And she was really, really good. So that's a lot of fun. Melissa, you're number three.
My number three is Seven Dwarfs. I think it's a lot of fun going through that woods. You kind of start feeling like you're in the forest of Snow White, and then you go into the mine and you get to spin the barrels and see the different gems sparkling. It's a lot of fun. It's interactive enough, but the line moves, so you don't get hung up too much.
It's really cool when you can get all the barrels spinning at one time and you get the Snow White that appears on the ceiling.
I did not know that.
Oh, you didn't?
No. Something to do next time.
All the barrels, each barrel individually, when you spin it, projects the gems on the ceiling.
Okay.
You can get enough people where you can spin all the barrels at once. In the center, all of them, Snow White will appear in the middle.
Oh, neat.
Hard to get that many adults that can spin them fast enough to get them all gone. Like, you need a group of people to do it. But it's very cool. That is a good cue. Not so much right now because all the interactivity is kind of turned off. But it's still a well-themed cue even without the interactivity. For me, I would say my number three would be Space Mountain. You know, I liked it more when they had the games in there. Now, you know, you expected to play the game on your phone. The Disney Play app. But just the smell and the nostalgia and all of that, that when you walk in that queue, it's just so cool. I mean, it's just so 1971. You know, it's like it just hasn't changed, and it's been, the games were fun, but just that queue in general is just really, really fun and really well done.
I love that you mentioned the smell. It does have a unique smell. I love the soundtrack, the music that's playing. You know exactly where you are, and you feel, I am going in this Tomorrowland mentality of what the future is going to look like from a 1950s, 1960s perspective, and this is what the spaceport looks like.
Yep.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, I the nostalgia. I would totally agree with that.
It's so different than anything else. All right, Morgan. Your number two.
My number two is the Little Mermaid.
Oh, that is a good one. With the little crab you see running through, the little holographic crab you see running through some of the props. And there's a great animatronic of Scuttle.
Yep. And I always try to find the hidden Mickey that you can only see during a certain time of day. And I can never remember off the top of my head. So I always try to figure out where it should be, when I should be seeing it.
I think it has to do with the solstice.
Yeah.
It only shows once a year for like an hour.
Yeah. But I always think of it when I'm in there. So I'm like,
I mean, just the idea, just that they did that is so ridiculous. Yeah. It's great and ridiculous.
I think it's a really comfortable queue too, especially during the hot part of the day. It's pretty shaded. It's cooler. It's fun to walk, to find all the seashells and different track marks in the pavement or the sand that you're walking over.
That's true. And also, I think because of all the rock work and stuff like that, there's lots of places that you can kind of lean and kind of rest a little bit. You're not just standing because there's so many low spots and that are not just straight up and down that you can kind of, it's probably tough to sit, but you can kind of lean on.
Yep. And once you get inside, I feel like it drops, like the temperature drops significantly. Oh, yeah. So on those hot days, not only are you in the shade, but you just dropped a couple of degrees and you can actually, like, you know, cool off.
Yeah. And even when you get in, like, in those first rooms, like, you feel like you're in the castle.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
All right, Melissa, you're number two.
Number two would be Peter Pan. I had not done the standby queue until I think 2 years ago. We'd always gone fast pass because the line is so long. And I mean, I love Peter Pan, but I don't love it enough to wait for 75 minutes, which always seems to be the typical line. So we've always fast pass, but the line was really short. We decided during the Christmas party, we were going to experience it, see what it was all about. And I loved it. Like, I think it's the closest thing that Disney has come to replicating almost what Universal has with some of their immersive Harry Potter type lines, where you're like actually in the sets and you're seeing all the pieces. So that was really neat.
Yeah. I don't know if I've done this. I don't even know the last time I've done standby for Peter Pan.
One time me and Kim actually had fast passes, but we had heard the line wasn't very long and we had heard so much about the queue. We wanted to go experience it. So we did. And it was worth it. I mean, the line, it wouldn't have been worth 75 minutes, but it was like, you know, probably a 35 minute wait instead of doing our fast pass. We just went and walked through it.
Yeah.
Which is cool enough because the line was still long enough to enjoy all the interactive stuff in the queue and really kind of look at everything. So, yeah, that's a really good one. But I'm really flip-flopping between my number one and my number two, and this is going to be really hard for me. But, I'm going to say my number two is The Enchanted Tales with Belle.
Yep.
The queue for that is amazing. I mean, you feel like you're walking into the cottage. And then as you work your way through and you go through where like that door appears out of nowhere, it's amazing. I mean, it's still magical to me. I still can't figure out how they did it.
Yeah.
And I have no idea how they do it. And it just appears. And I've heard the same thing, and we're going to get there eventually, but I've heard the same thing about the pre-show at Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad, that it's kind of similar, that you don't know, like all of a sudden there's just a door and you walk through it. So I think that queue is so well done and so fun. And it's just a part of the story.
That's a great one. Never feel like I'm waiting in line for that. I mean, when you're outside, but you're under the shade and it's like usually a 15-minute wait or something. And then you are technically in a line as you go through the different rooms, but it doesn't feel like it at all.
You feel like it's part of the attraction.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's why I didn't put that on my list, because I felt like that's kind of part of the attraction, like in my eyes, like that's a part of the attraction. Because that door, mirror, window, whatever you want to call it, is
it's cool.
So cool.
Yeah. All right, Morgan, you're number uno.
All right, and I'd be surprised if my number one is not your number one. Haunted Mansion.
Oh, yeah, that's my number one.
That's my number one.
I'll agree on that. We can just talk about it. Yeah, I mean, even the queue outside. If you've done the Marceline the Magic Kingdom tour, you know the story of the crime mystery with the bust outside. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery that you're supposed to be solving through all the interactive stuff they added years ago. But even before all that stuff, just the
graveyard and all that.
Graveyard and how, you know, those things remind me of when I was a kid and we were reading those, you know, great big rock fell on his head and stuff like that. That's, you know, a little dark, but still comical.
Yep.
So it's done very, very well. And then when you enter, it changed, the whole kind of mood changes, and you got the portrait of Master Gracie that changes from his portrait to the skeleton.
Yep.
And then the stretching room. I mean, God, if the stretching room isn't one of the best parts of that attraction.
Yeah. And I always watch, like, in the when you're still outside, when you're at the graveyard, I always try to watch Leota. So I want to watch her eyes move.
Yeah.
Like that. I love that they do that. And
for me, I thought the fact that it has a decent stop on the Marceline tour, that it was the best hands down a queue, because you spend most of your time going through that queue talking about the murder mystery. You talk about some of the stories about the different headstones, and even I feel like every time I go, there's a new headstone that's paying homage to an Imagineer, or maybe it's Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, so it's an old attraction or something. Yeah. You always find something new.
We did that tour together.
Yep, we did.
Group of us, which was a lot of fun.
And then I like also when they add, every once in a while, to have the photo pass, so you can get your photo while you're in the line, which is always great, especially like if you can get it in front of the hearse.
I was about to say, we didn't even talk about like the carriage, which is kind of, I mean, just all of that is so cool too. And that's actually, you know, you learn that in the Marceline the Magic Kingdom tour, that's actually a carriage, like a hearse.
Yeah.
They don't know if it ever carried a body, but it was used in films.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny. So like the episode, if you guys haven't watched the Inside the Attractions on Disney Plus yet, the episode they talk about Haunted Mansion, like it's just so cool that they talk about, you know, the gravestones. And then even like, even though it's not technically part of the queue, the pet cemetery when you're walking out, all of that is just really cool.
That was one of my favorite episodes so far of the Behind the Attractions. Even though I knew a lot about it, I didn't know a lot about the differences between Disneyland and Disney World, and then the differences from the other haunted mansions around the world.
The other thing that I really like it when they talk about Haunted Mansion in any of those series, whether it be Behind the Attractions or the Imagineering story, is Kim Irvine always speaks in those.
Mm-hmm.
She is Leota Toombs' daughter. And like in the, she doesn't really talk about it Behind the Attractions, but the Imagineering story, she talks about, you know, being, working in Disneyland. And so Leota in the ballroom, I can't remember the name of the lady who does the voice, but it's the same lady that does Cruella de Vil and Maleficent.
Maleficent, not.
Yeah. But the little Leota, the hurry back, is actually Leota Toombs' voice. So she talked about that, like walking through the parks and nobody's in the morning before anybody was there and just being walking past the attraction. She could hear that and it was her mom's voice. So it's like, that's so cool, you know?
Yeah.
All right. That's funny that we all like name number one. Morgan, what's one that you just kind of, I don't want to say dread, but just not gonna look forward to it.
I'm trying to think of in Magic Kingdom. Probably Big Thunder Railroad, just because I actually get claustrophobic in large crowds to where like if I can't see an exit, I'll have a panic attack. That queue is so small.
It is. It's tight, especially when you go down like the ramp.
Yes.
And they split you into two sides.
Yes. So
like in the summer, it's so hot right there because like when you're in line and you're stuck between the two levels on that ramp. Like there's no air that flows right there. It's so hot. Yeah, I agree. That's not a great one. They've tried to make it better with some, with adding some stuff and adding some interactivity, but it's still not a great one.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, it's how close, I feel like that's the only ride that I can think of off the top of my head in all of Disney that I feel like I am literally on top of people when you're doing that, like zigzag in the queue.
Mine is the Speedway. It is just so smelly and hot and miserable that I don't even want to ride it.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting thing because I probably, that's one of the reasons, unless it doesn't have a weight at all, that I don't ride it. Because I do like going to ride it, even though it's like a kiddie ride, but I still enjoy it. That's a good one. I would also tell you probably one that I dread is the Astro Orbiter.
I haven't even been on that.
Yeah, I haven't been on that in a long time.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
It's just right on side. It's like on the side of the building. And you just do the switchback, and then you got to climb on. You got to get in this like crappy elevator that take one of the two crappy elevators that take you up. And it, like, there's nothing but like there's nothing to see. It's just kind of so kind of like the Speedway, same thing, except you don't have to get on a hot, crappy elevator on the Speedway. All right, let's hop over to
Epcot.
All right, so this time I'll start with Melissa. Melissa, what would be your number three?
My number three, I think, would be the China movie. I love being in the pagoda and just seeing the history and architecture in there. And even if they, when they have the visiting expos off to the side.
Right now, it's the last time I was there, it was the Shanghai Disney Expo where they show you, which is fantastic. While you're waiting for that show, that's a great place just to go walk around and see all the cool stuff from, they get some of the costumes and models and stuff like that that they did for Shanghai Disney, which is amazing. That room is also cool. And before the expos, they had the terracotta soldiers in there.
Yep.
Yep.
I have one of those. I have one of the little, they don't sell them anymore. But I bought one a few years ago. That's a good one. My number three, I guess, would have to be Test Track. Although I think it was better, and I think the whole attraction was better in the original version than it is now. But it's still pretty cool, and I like when you go design the car. But just being in there and seeing some of the technology that they're working on today, and it's really cool, and it's nice in there. So I'll do that for my number three.
That was actually my number three as well, because I like designing the car and I like doing all of that. And it was just lower because sometimes you don't always get a chance to design the car and feel like I'm sometimes rushed for time. So, yeah, that was my number three as well.
I'm with you, Jimmy. I do miss the old queue. And we've talked about in a, I don't remember, a prior Tuesday night show or a prior podcast, missing the prior version of Test Track.
Yes.
And just that it was that educational piece that fit in with Epcot married with a fun attraction that you got to go on.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought it was, it was like a real test track, which was cool. Yeah. You got to see how they actually test these cars, which I thought was great.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And actually, I have a little like nostalgia to the original because when I was in the college program, the very first night me and my roommates were together, we went to Epcot and Test Track was the first ride that we rode. And we have a photo of like the six of us in the that ride. It was our first picture together. So like a little nostalgia for me.
All right, Melissa, what's your number two?
Number two, Spaceship Earth. It's kind of boring, right? In the sense that you're outside and then you just go up the ramp. But I think I like that, that it's outside. You get to see everyone coming into the park. You're in the middle. You're looking up at this really neat geometric sphere. And then the long escalator up. And I just always feel like you're moving. And maybe it's because I just really enjoy the attraction. the nostalgia there. But it's just simple. And to the point, which I think Epcot kind of is sometimes, which is okay.
Yep.
I agree. That's a good one. And I like when you start working that it too has its own unique smell.
Yep.
And you usually get a whiff of it. Kind of like when you're going up the ramp to go into the building, you can start to get little hints of air conditioning and that scent that comes from that building.
I was a little on the fence of whether or not to list that as a best or worst, just because if the line is really long, waiting in like the lower part is kind of boring.
Do you ride it if the line's long?
Depends on who I'm with. Like if I'm with somebody that like either hasn't ridden it a long time or a first timer, then I just want them to experience it. Then, you know, depending on the weight.
The worst thing you can do is ride that attraction when you get to the park.
Yes.
Because it's the first attraction, the lines get long during the day, but then in the evening time when people start leaving,
yep,
usually can hop right on that.
I almost always have a fast pass for it because it's easy to get later in the day as my fourth fast pass. So I feel like maybe that's why I don't wait in the line. It just you walk in and you zig, 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 and you go up the ramp and you're on.
Yeah.
That and even when they only, like even as one of your three fast passes, the way they had it tiered because you had to pick Soarin' or Test Track as number one.
Yeah.
And Soarin' Test Track are frozen as number one. And then you had two others to pick, like Spaceship Earth was always one for me because you kind of don't have anything else to pick from at Epcot.
Yeah.
Fast Pass worthy anyway. My number two will be Mission Space. I love the idea of, and I will say, as much as I like Gina Torres, she was great in the TV show Suits. And that's really what I know her from. But she's no Gary Sinise, because you think of astronaut kind of when you think of Gary Sinise. But that attract that queue, and I wish they still had the gravity wheel turning because it doesn't turn anymore. But you feel like you really like about to like you feel like you know like a space museum when you're in there. It's yep. Really well done. And then the video and all that stuff too. It you know when you're in the little room before you board. Up until the point right before you get on the attraction. I think it's very well done. It's a lot of anticipation because in the videos they show you of the actual astronauts. I think it's very cool. I think it's very well done.
Yeah. I didn't have it on my list though. I would totally agree with that.
I have not ridden that in a long time. I get a little motion sick from it, but I recall as you were talking about it, I do recall, and that is a good one. You do feel like you're getting into the a space flight and kind of takes me back to like an Apollo 13 movie or even the Right Stuff.
Yeah.
I've seen that yet.
Oh, you have to see that. That's so
interesting tie, like an interesting bridge. That.
And then they actually even have a National Geographic documentary about the real guys.
Yep.
Cool. On Disney Plus as well. So you can watch the TV show and watch the documentary.
So wait, the Right Stuff is a series?
The series, I believe there is a season two that will eventually come out. It's based on a book that was also called The Right Stuff. And then, yeah, I'd recommend watching you could do either way, but I think it's fun to watch the series because you're not any spoilers and then watch the documentary to see. It's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. You talked me into it. You sold. I'm sold. All right, Morgan, number two.
I would say my number two, and I feel like Epcot is so much harder, is the Three Caballeros, the Grand Fiesta Tour. Just because nostalgia, and I mean, you have to walk into the Mexico Pavilion, which I love the Mexico Pavilion.
That's my number one, by the way.
Oh, okay.
You're fine. Let me talk about it, but I'm
yeah.
That's my number one. I mean, it's the only queue. It's the only attraction queue with a tequila bar.
Well, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. But sometimes the tequila bar line is longer than to get on the actual ride.
But it's so well themed in there. I agree. It's just amazing because the theming inside the Mexico Pavilion is so amazing that you don't mind waiting in line because you get so much stuff to look at. It's very, very good.
And you're smelling the food from the restaurant. You know, you might do a little shopping in the little carts. And
I always find cool stuff in there that I want to buy. I don't always buy it, but I always find, like, that's cool. Like, it's different than everything else you see in Disney.
Yep. So yeah, that's my my number two.
So it's funny that that's your number two and Jimmy, it's your number one. That's actually what my least favorite.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I agree with all the things that you said, and I do love the pavilion. I feel like, and I don't mind the queue when it's within the queue. What I don't like about it is when it starts to get outside of the queue, which is fairly common, and it moves fast, but you start feeding back out into the area, and I feel like I'm in an episode of Seinfeld where I'm just like, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm before you and you're before me, and then this person is behind me and they're like over there. Yeah. So
like lining up for a Southwest flight.
Yeah, like it just is a little too stressful for me for some reason. So that's the only reason that I don't love it.
All right. So what is your number one, Melissa?
Frozen is my number one. I love going into that village, and especially if you can go through the Sommerhus and be able to see the sauna and like wiping the mist off the door. The night sky is so beautiful. I just feel like I'm in there.
Big summer blowout.
Yep. Well done. For sure. Definitely well done.
Yep. I was thinking about putting that on my list, but I'm still a little salty about Maelstrom. Just a little salty.
You gotta be kidding me.
Like a little, like this much salty. Like
I just roll my eyes.
Slowly healing.
I like to roll my eyes at the Maelstrom comments. Like that attraction was like walk on until they announced that they were getting rid of it. And then all of a sudden everybody's, oh, we loved it. Yeah, well, you didn't ride it in 8 years.
I rode it every single time. But to me, it wasn't so much that they made it frozen. I just feel like they could have still taught you about the country, and then you could still throw in some frozen IP.
You did learn about the country in 1982 when Epcot opened, because they never updated that film.
Yeah, it 100% needed to be updated.
And even in 2010, you were still watching a video of Norway from 1982. It was terrible. Yeah.
I do not disagree with anything. I needed an upgrade. I'm okay with like them putting Frozen in.
It was the best ride in the world about trolls and oil rigs.
My number one is the Seas with Finding Nemo.
Oh crap, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. I didn't think about that one.
And kind of for the same reason, The Little Mermaid, like you walk in and you kind of feel like you're in the ocean and it's nice and cool. But I do have to say, usually when my mom comes with me, as far like she's in an ECV, and that beginning part is a little hard for an ECV to navigate.
Little tight. Yeah. The turns are a little tight in there. I could see that.
But yeah, that's my number one. Cause I mean, that's a good place to cool off, and I'm ready to go see Nemo and the fishes.
Mine that I'm not really crazy about would be, I would have to say, Living with the Land.
That was going to be mine too, just because it's so boring.
It's just not, there's nothing to see.
Yeah.
It's like cafeteria.
With that being said, I mean, there's not, well, there are a lot of times, it's not always a lot. There's very rarely a line.
Yeah. And
when there is a line, it moves very quickly because they load those boats very fast. But yeah, it's kind of like blah. Moving on to Hollywood Studios.
Hollywood.
Oh, man. It's going to be tough for me to pick in here. So I'm first, so I'll go number three. Holy shoot.
No pressure.
Number three, I'll go with Toy Story Midway Mania.
That was my number three as well.
It's really, really good. I mean, there's just a lot of ridiculous competition here. As we get to these newer parks, the line, they put way more thought in these queues than they did in the older parks. So between the talking Mr. Potato Head and then all the giant toys, I think it's pretty amazing.
The behind the attractions does talk about that queue quite a bit, but if you really love that queue, I'd recommend reading Kevin Rafferty's book. I think it's called like My Amazing Life as an Imagineer. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but a really good book. And one of the last chapters talks about him designing that queue and some of the interactions he had recording the audio for Mr. Potato Head. It's a lot of fun.
I'll have to download that to my Audible account.
Yep.
All right. Well, you said that's your number three too?
Yeah, I like Potato Head.
All right, Melissa, your number three.
I think it'd be Millennium Falcon. It's just really fun. Well, there's so many in that park.
Three?
Be careful, he might cut you off.
You're
off to impress. Jesus Christ, you literally board the Millennium Falcon and you're like, that's number three. Like Hondo Inaka's up there talking to you. It's like the best audio animatronic.
Okay, do you want me to move it to number one?
No, I don't know where to go from here.
Maybe, you know, I just have more nostalgia with the other two or something. Okay.
All right.
Top three. They're all the same, really. Like, in the sense of, like, they're all just amazing.
Sure.
But, yeah.
This is tough because there's a lot of really. We probably could have did top five or six in Hollywood Studios, and still nobody's got wrong answers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, Smugglers would have been on my list, but I've yet to ride it.
Get out of here.
Yeah. I've only been into Galaxy's Edge twice. Once was with you and we were just kind of walking around and we got sucked into the show with Chewbacca and Rey.
If I'd have known that, there's no way I would have let you leave without.
Yeah. Well, we got other trips.
You're definitely riding it and we're definitely going to have to go spend some time at Hollywood Studios, at least to go ride that when we go at the end of September. Now that I have that little tidbit of information. Yeah.
Well, I know I'm definitely going to ride it in November because, you know, the boyfriend is a huge Star Wars fan. So, you know, that's a must do.
My goal in life now to make sure you ride it before he does.
Okay.
My number two, I'll go ahead and put Tower of Terror.
Damn it, man.
That's a good one.
I know you will find this funny, but that was my number two.
You're so full of
I am not.
You're just copying off me now.
No, because like, what's so funny is like, you know how much I don't like the ride, but I love the queue.
Have you seen the movie?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Melissa, okay. Have you seen the movie?
Yeah, a long time ago, and I'm going to get the $8 Amazon copy of it or something so I can rewatch it.
And it's like $8 for, and it's not just that movie. It's like a pack with Tower of Terror, The Haunted Mansion, the Eddie Murphy one, and Country Bears for like $8.
I'm surprised they don't have it on Disney Plus.
I've made my comment to them that they need to add it to Disney Plus. It was originally a Disney Channel movie. It wasn't like it didn't go to the theaters or anything.
And they have Disney Channel movies on Disney Plus.
Such as Smart House.
Steve Guttenberg. And a young Kirsten Dunst. And it was for a Disney Channel movie, it's great. And the story is great. It makes you, and the whole thing was shot at the Tower of Terror in Hollywood Studios. I mean, not the whole movie, but all the Tower of Terror is actually in that tower. So it's very, very good. And it makes you appreciate the tower that much more. I hope they don't ever change this. As much as I am a Marvel fan, and I really want to go to Disneyland and see Mission Breakout, I hope that they don't change the one in Florida to Mission Breakout. I hope they leave it.
I don't think they will. We're getting a Guardians ride in Epcot.
Yeah. I hope they leave that one, the classic Tower of Terror. I think it's got such a great theme. Another one that you can see on Behind the Attractions, which is incredible, is Tower of Terror.
Yeah. Tales are just really cool, and that's why I like it. Because I don't want to ride the ride. The ride scares the bejesus out of me and entertains Jimmy when I ride it.
It's not really that scary.
I don't like the freak ball, man.
To be honest, Tower Terror and Star Tours were tied for me for second because I just love all the details. And if I could just not even go through the queue and just get stuck in the queue and like explore it on my own and see everything and go out of the line and look at everything, I really wanted to pick Tower of Terror because I like that ride better. It's my favorite attraction at Hollywood Studios, and I love as a show on its own.
Me too, yeah.
But I just picked Star Tours as my number two instead of Tower of Terror because it's a little bit longer and more interactive piece. I feel like Tower of Terror is a lot of being outside in the green space, and then you kind of get into the gardens a little bit, and then it's like, bam, you're in the lobby. So much to see, but it's such a short period of time. I wish the line like wove in and out of that lobby so you could see everything. And then you're in the library. For me, again, I was kind of thinking, oh, that's part of the attraction, or even being in the lobby is part of the attraction already. Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I would love the chance to like be able to go walk around in the lobby and just kind of go investigate. I am glad, after looking at how much they as being guests have destroyed the queue line and Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railroad already, I am so glad that they maintain that line the way they do, because people were just destroyed. It would look like because people are idiots. So I'm glad that they maintain it by, you don't really get to go in there. You got to kind of look from a distance, and it's so well done. So yeah,
I would love a behind the scenes tour that, like, you know, maybe you get to go into the park early, and not saying like you get to go into lobby, but like, you know, they have a laser pointer or something and they can point stuff out, like, you know.
Oh, I'd love to do a tour. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So that's your number two is Tower?
Number two is technically Star Tours, but it was a tie with Tower.
So you put Star Tours above Smuggler's Run?
Yeah.
Let me tell you why I think you did.
Okay.
Because we had this conversation because you have not seen Clone Wars.
That's why.
Because you don't know who Hondo Ohnaka is.
Maybe. I liked it. It's fun for sure. And I've only been on it once or twice.
I'm not knocking Star Tours. I mean, you got.
I think it's funnier.
No, I for the same reasons I picked Tower, you know, Star Tours, the same thing. Like, I would love to, like, I like looking down and like seeing like the old droids and seeing all the details of everything that's around Star Tours. Like, I would love to wander around that lobby just like you said.
It is very well done. I'm not, yeah. Star Tours.
No, you're just like, you're never gonna let this go.
Oh, I don't let things go. No, I never let things go.
Yeah.
My number one is gonna be Smuggler's Run. Only because, like, Rise of the Resistance really doesn't have a pre-show, like a queue. It's got like a queue, like a one little queue. But it's got so many different ride systems that it's all literally part of the attraction. It's not really a queue. The queue is just walking through like some wooded area that's themed, so it's not great. But man, walking underneath the Millennium Falcon into the bay and then seeing Hondo Ohnaka and getting the story. He's like literally the best audio animatronic in Walt Disney right now. The only thing that's close would be the Shaman in Navi River Journey, but the Shaman doesn't do nearly as much as Hondo does. Like, the Shaman's really kind of sits in one spot and moves a little bit. Hondo moves around. He's talking. So it's, yep. That's my number one. And Morgan never seen it, so she'll just have to take my word for it.
I think the other piece of it, why for you, that Jimmy, you psychoanalyzed me. I'm going to do it for you.
Okay, ooh, good. Wow. I like it.
I think that you have a much bigger connection to Star Wars. You have the passion from being a kid and watching it and like just loving Star Wars. Where me, I'm a casual fan. I enjoy Star Wars. I will go see them in the movies. I will watch them as they come out on Disney Plus. But I don't know every single detail. I don't get like really excited about all the merch and stuff. And I don't know every single person and storyline and stuff. Sure. I appreciate them and I like them, but I think that's the piece there. Whereas like for me, you send me to Universal and at Harry Potter and I'm like, I just want to live here. I am here at goosebumps the whole time. Like, for that's your Star Wars is my Harry Potter.
You know, to be honest with you though, I liked Harry Potter that much too, and I like Marvel that much. Like, I just have too many. I literally have too many fandoms. It's kind of a, I'm too much.
Yeah, I don't have to pick one fandom for sure.
No,
I just have that. Yeah, I just don't have that fandom history.
And I'll be honest with you. And between like with me, Ed, and Sam are having conversations about Star Wars, I'm the rookie. Like, I'm the least educated. Like, and I, like, Sam and Ed, like, they've read the comic books. They've, I mean, they, I'm like the rookie. And I know a lot, but, about Star Wars, but I know nothing compared to them two. All right. Morgan, your number one.
My number one is Rise, just because in my head, the cue is still when you go inside and you see the stormtroopers and you've got the cast members like rushing you along and bossing you around. Like in my head, like I was still in line. So, I mean, like I couldn't stop smiling because I'm like,
I don't, oh my God,
this is awesome.
I didn't do Rise because I consider that part of the ride.
Yeah.
Rise is so different because it's not just a, it's not just like a ride.
Yeah.
It's a complete, like total experience. So it's hard to, that's the only reason is because of that.
Yeah. I mean, like I considered, like I got on the ride when I went and the little film started and you're in the thing about to get on the vehicle.
Yeah.
Like, but the whole part with like the stormtroopers there, like, cause I mean, I stopped and took selfies and
technically part of the queue. I agree.
Yeah. Like I consider that part of the queue,
but it's interesting because there's ride vehicle and then there's queue and then there's ride vehicle and then there's queue. So it's not, it's not quite the same. I don't know. Okay. I don't disagree with you. It's just, it's a little different beast. So it's hard to really classify.
And I might change my mind after I do Smugglers because I mean, the idea of being in the Millennium Falcon.
That is amazing. Sitting at the chest, sitting at the game table where Chewie sat.
I want that photo of me sitting at that table so bad.
I've never been on Rise, unfortunately, or Mickey's Minnie Runaway Railway. Unfortunately, can't speak to it yet.
I've heard great things about Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad, but you know, when I, the only times I've done it is post-pandemic, and it does have like some cool feature, kind of like the Beauty and the Beast thing, but it wasn't operating. So
yeah,
I would tell you, you're not without that, you're not missing anything other than some switchbacks. You know, it's not. Yeah. In the theater, like it was for, you know, not much different.
Yeah, I mean, I did it with Jimmy and haven't seen the pre-show, so.
You should be able to experience that, Jimmy, when you go back as long
yeah,
as
I think they're doing it again now. Yeah, so that'll be good. All right, Melissa, you're number one.
My number one is Muppets.
It's a good one.
It's not, you know, exciting and big reveal or, you know, big set. It's just hilarious. They get me every time with all the writing on the boxes and the posters and the movie. It's just classic Muppets and just love it.
It's every bit as good as the attraction, as good as the movie itself. It may even be better. The pre-show may even be better than the actual movie. It bothers the hell out of me when I'm standing there watching it and people are just, they don't get it. They're talking, they're looking at the phone. I'm like, are you serious? This is
I'm walking all over the,
I can't sit still.
When the film comes on, it's like, this is like comedic gold, right?
Yes.
Like, it's freaking hilarious. I mean, it's done so well. We still have to do one week or blah about in Hollywood Studios.
I'll go first. I love Frozen Sing Along. It's a must do for me. I love it. But my trick, what I do is I wait to the last minute before the doors are going to close and I run in. So I don't have to wait in that big cow corral of people. And I have every single time been putting it in the front row between two parties because it's me and my son. So it's he'll sit on my lap.
Yeah.
And we go right in the front row and we sit down and the show starts. So I'm that lady.
Yeah, that's true. I agree. That's not a really good one.
I was thinking Rock and Roller Coaster just because I consider it the ride starts at the movie with Aerosmith and, you know, get the Blacklist Paul. But you're outside in the
heat. Well, there's some cool elements between those two things happening though.
The
marble door and all the recording equipment, and you feel like you're kind of in a movie studio. But I get what you're saying. The outside part is terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, unless you have a fast pass, you're usually spending majority of your time in the outside part, which is the not fun part. Yeah. But yeah, like once you go through the marble door and you get to, you know, run your hands up and down it, then yeah, like I'm good at that point.
Yeah.
Morgan, I'm with you. I've had some really bad experiences in that queue where you can't tell if the ride is running or not because you just don't move.
Yep.
Then you're like, is it broken down? Is it going? I'm not really sure. I haven't moved in a long time. And then it just feels like there's nothing to look at. You're just in a big concrete ramp.
Yep.
I hear you.
Somebody mentioned it earlier, and I'll say Minnie and Mickey's Runaway Railroad. That queue backs up way out the theater and does a bunch of switchbacks outside in the just in the sun. And it's terrible. Now, once you kind of make it into the theater, it's kind of like, looked like it did for a great movie ride in that queue area. But there's some like moving posters for with Mickey Mouse and stuff on the wall instead of, you know, some of the movie stuff they had in there before. And then when you finally make it past that point, it's just some switchbacks and it's themed okay, but it's not, the outside part is terrible and hot.
I agree with that. Plus, I mean, like, we haven't seen the pre-show, so.
It's true. And the pre-show may make it a little better because it may be worth, you know, may bump it up. But, man, all them switchbacks outside is just so, just, you're like baking in the sun. All right. Animal Kingdom. Morgan, you go first. Number three.
Number three is Expedition Everest.
That's a good one.
Just because I like all the details, obviously, and. You know, I think about like all the research they did to make it almost as authentic as possible. And
that's a really good one. I agree. I mean, it's well done. It kind of tells a story. What do you think, Melissa, about Expedition Everest?
Yeah, Yeti is actually my number one. I completely agree. I have pictures and memories from, I don't know, it had to be around 2003 of the queue looking different. So has the queue been shortened since it opened? I have a picture of like a big stone lion, and then you would circle the lion, and the lion was wearing like an orange lei around itself.
I think it's still there.
Yeah, I think it's still there. But they do switch that queue up sometimes and put you through different sections that you don't always go through.
And that could be like because it seems to be a fairly short queue in terms of where you all go.
Yeah.
And so maybe during holidays or in the past, they've now shortened it. But yeah, I have these pictures of this queue because I loved it so much at the time. And I'm like, I don't remember any of these queues or any of these spots anymore in the queue, but I still enjoy it. Even the single rider line is fun. You still get to see different pieces of the expedition, and it's kind of like you're in a museum. You see all the glass cases and things.
All right, Melissa, what's your number three?
Number three would be Navi River Journey. Love being able to walk through the plants and feel like you're going into that cave and you're really going to board a boat.
Yeah, that's another good one. My number three, I think, would be Dinosaur, because I really feel like you're entering the Dino Institute and had a good pre-show with Felicia Rashad, which is getting a little dated, but
yep,
it's cool. I enjoy that. I enjoy the big T-Rex in the middle of the room and kind of the narration and the stuff that lights up in there as you're waiting.
Yeah, I actually had Dinosaur as my number two for the same reason. And I even go back to when it was sponsored by McDonald's and they have the three pipes that are red, yellow, and I forgot the other thing. And it's actually for ketchup, mustard,
mayonnaise.
Yeah. I like all the details in that.
Little things like that make stuff cool.
Yeah, it is a good 90s lab that you're walking into.
It is, yeah. Like I said, it's a little dated, but it's still fun. They make it fun. So, all right, so that was your number two.
That was my number two.
So, Melissa, your number two.
Tough to be a bug. Again, that was funny. I'm always walking around the queue I like walking around the tree. You always can find something new. And then once you're in the tree and people are just standing there on their phones, you know, whatever, I'm walking all over the place to read the posters, yep. You know, just they're knee slappers.
That's really, that's good. And I agree. Cause that's like, if you want to really look at all the character animals and stuff cards in the tree, like that queue is the best view you're going to get of the tree.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that. And that would have totally been on my list for that reason, just walking around the tree and getting the details.
My number two is probably Everest. So we talked about that. So that's one of my favorites. Morgan, you're number one.
My number one is Flight of Passage.
I was going to say, it's probably going to be everybody's number one. It's
yeah.
Definitely my number one.
So yeah. I have not been in the standby side of Flights of Passage, and I feel like I'm really missing out. It's the Peter Pan of ride queues that you just miss out when you go on the Fast Pass line, because you see it through a window of the body in the water is what
you really don't see it because it's like frosted glass.
You're walking behind the scenes and you just go, and it's like, okay, I think I missed all of this.
Yeah.
But even the shows in Flight of Passage, like the two little videos that you see, the little pre-shows are done really well. The guy kind of irks me a little bit, but.
And put it this way, I mean, and I've said this before, I've attempted two times to ride the Flight of Passage and have not been able to get on it at all. And I don't mind going through that queue because of the details of that queue. And not just like once you're in the lab and you see the avatar in the liquid.
Even like in the cave.
Yeah, even the cave and like the drawings on the cave and stuff like that is just really cool.
I think there's also something, now I'll throw this one in there as an honorable mention. Kali River Rapids has a very cool queue.
Yep.
I haven't ridden it in years and years and years because I don't like being soaking wet. But when we went in May, Wyatt's girlfriend was the first time she'd ever been there. So everybody wanted to ride it. So I'm like, okay, let's go do it. And the queue is very well done. Similar to Expedition Everest, you really feel like you're going on this like raft ride. And sure enough, me and Wyatt got more soaked than anybody else on the damn raft. I probably won't do it again for another 10 years, but the queue is great. So I throw that one in there as an honorable mention.
Yeah.
I'll go first with like I'm not crazy about, and it is Kilimanjaro Safari.
That's mine as well.
That's mine as well.
It's just a long, boring queue.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's just nothing special about it. I felt like when they had the whole like little red, they kind of had more of the TVs going and more of kind of a building of the story than they do now. Now there's nothing. It's really boring.
Makes you wonder, like, why can't they throw something on there? Especially now they've got like a Disney Nature Elephants movie. Throw that on there.
Yeah. But you know, entertain people because it's just really boring.
Well, there's not even like boards to learn about the animals that you're going to see and get you excited, or props for safari. Like, nothing. I appreciate that it's covered. That's very nice of the Imagineers to have added that.
They put some fans up.
Very true. The only other thing I would say about just not great is all of Dinoland, with the exception of like the Dinorama area.
Yeah.
They could throw that whole area away, the little fair.
I think the queues for Lion King and Nemo get a little crazy too, where you're trying to figure out where's the line and where does it begin. And I feel like it's like a parade at some point.
Yeah.
It's just people everywhere.
I didn't think about those, but you're right. Both of those are fairly terrible. There's literally nothing to do. You're just kind of standing out there in the rain or the sun or whatever. Yeah. Those are pretty terrible too.
Yeah.
With that being said, man, Finding Nemo the Musical, I really miss it. It's such a fantastic show. That's the only reason I would wait in that line.
I really hope that they get that back soon.
Yep. Well, thank you guys. I think this was a good show, other than Melissa hating on Smuggler's Run.
I'm going to ride it with you, Jimmy, in November, and you can change my opinion.
Well, no, you need to watch all of Clone Wars. You need to watch all of Clone Wars and Rebels, so next time you see it, you know who Hondo and Aka is.
Yeah. So start now.
Yes. Yeah, I would.
I would start seeing the 7 seasons of Clone Wars.
Not including Rebels.
And I don't know how many are Rebels, but there's a bunch in there too. So
do we need to watch Bad Batch too in order to complete my homework?
No.
You know what? I can't remember if Hondo and Aka is in Bad Batch or not. I think he might be. I look forward to a day soon that we can all be in one of those queues together.
The November meetup.
November meetups. Can't wait. Thank you guys for joining us. And for myself, Melissa, and Morgan. Good night, everybody. Quaharini.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
Compulsory, mortals pay a token fee, rest in